This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Radiant Creator, light of the world, breath of life, shine in our hearts and in our minds. Enlighten our understanding and awareness of you and your ways so that we may do what is true and live in your illumined grace. Amen. Good morning. There are times in life when we look around us and we wonder, is this all there is? Is this all there is to life? Sometimes it may just be a passing moment, but sometimes it may be a long season. We look at our life, we look at our circumstances, and we want more. There's a restlessness, a searching, a longing for something else. Generally, we refer to this as a midlife crisis, and through it, we do many crazy things. We may seek a new job, buy a new car, develop a new relationship, develop a new hobby, go on a trip, spend extra hours at work. But interestingly, not much changes. Such an experience or such a crisis in our life is not about the circumstances. It's about us. The restlessness, that desire for something more, generally means that we, if I may use the image, are living in the shallow end of the pool. Something seems to be missing in our living, and we are aware of that developing desire to seek something more. When we live in the shallow end of the pool, we find ourselves always judging ourselves and our circumstances. We look at these situations as if they were a picture. And if the picture is pretty and pleasing and shows us what we want to see, then God is good and all of life is as life should be. But when we don't see what we want in that picture, then we are looking to change the picture. The restless searching, the longing for more, the desire for meaning are not the way we answer and change circumstances. It's not the solution. Rather, I believe that solution is found in that depth, in that intimacy and vulnerability of our inner journey. Let me say that again. I believe that the answer is found in the depth and the intimacy and the vulnerability of our inner journey. Yes, we need to move beyond the shallow end of the pool and discover that there is more to life. We do not need to see new things. We need to see the same old things, but now with new eyes. We do not need to hear a different voice. Rather, we need to hear the same old voice with different ears. We do not need to escape the situations of life in which we find ourselves. What we need to do is to stay in those situations, be present to them, because God is doing something through them to enable us to be his child. When this happens, life is no longer lived in the shallow end of the pool. And these become transfigured moments. Moments when the picture of life suddenly becomes a window into a new world, into a world where we come face to face with the love and the grace and the presence of our God and Creator. Most of us, I believe, that we have learned to see God in daily living. That is basically what our spiritual journey is about in its first phase. Discovering and seeing God in the ordinary and in the common. We want God to show up. We want God to be there. We want God to do something. And this is a God who does. This is the God that is described throughout the Gospel of Mark up to the point of the story we have today. Theirs is a journey of discovering God in circumstances. That is what the disciples have been doing all along. They have seen Jesus cast out demons. They have seen Peter's mother-in-law healed, as well as others who came to the door that day. They saw a leper cleansed, paralyzed, healed to walk, the blind to see, thousands to be fed. This is a God of whom people talk. At this point, however, we need to begin to move and to discover God beyond those circumstances, which I would refer to as the second phase of our spiritual journey in life. We need to move beyond those circumstances and come to know God more intimately. Jesus is leading Peter, James, and John up a mountaintop to discover this God beyond the daily circumstances. And here the picture is painted. As windows open and they begin to move into a world where they have a deeper awareness of God's life, of God's love, and God's presence in their daily living. And there on that mountaintop, Jesus is transfigured. As we read, transfigured before them, and his clothes become dazzling white, such as no one on earth could possibly bleach them. And a cloud overshadows them, and the voice of the Father God speaks of God's beloved Son. In response to all that, Peter represents what we do typically as human beings. He wants to build dwelling places. He wants to preserve this moment. He wants to hold on to it as he witnesses Jesus along with Moses and Elijah. It's good to be here, he cries out to all of them. So grab your cell phones and let us take pictures and preserve this moment. But pictures are not helpful. They are static. They do nothing to facilitate growth or change in our lives. On the Mount of Transfiguration, our pictures of life circumstances have the potential to help us to step into a new world, into a new way of seeing, a new way of hearing, and a new way of being a child of God. And this is what happened to Peter, James, and John. Jesus suddenly didn't light up and become something he had never been before. No, their eyes were healed and open to see the Jesus who has always been since his creation and his birth on earth. The voice of the Father from heaven is not a new voice. Their ears have been open to hear the voice of God as it has always spoken since the beginning of creation. This transfiguration experience is as much about those disciples and about you and me as it is about Jesus. Whenever our picture of life's circumstances becomes a window into a new life, that is the transfigured moment for us. Circumstances don't change, but we change, and that is what makes the difference. Such a moment for me was my own ordination. My grandmother, who was perhaps my greatest spiritual cheerleader, died during my first year of seminary. And it had always been her dream and our dream to see me ordained. At the close of my ordination, which was a mass ordination of 12 persons, my mother's siblings happened to be present. And after all the hugging and kissing and congratulations going on with the large gathering, suddenly one of my aunts appeared. And she said very quietly and very simply to me, "You know your grandmother's here today, and she's very proud of you." My grandmother's life modeled for me an understanding of my own calling to be, as she was, an incredible model of a quiet faith of hospitality, compassion, and selfless service. Her life opened me to a way of finding a greater awareness of God working in my life. Those kind of transfigured moments are available to each and every one of us. And I know if I had a moment to speak with each and every one of you, you would have a story to tell us of the time when you were able to stand back from your life and see with new eyes, hear with different ears, and discover a window that has been opened for you into another world and into another way of being a child of God. I'll never forget visiting my father, who in his late 50s was in a psychiatric wing for a suicide attempt. Because I was clergy, I was able to be with him on a daily basis. There we talked, we laughed, we cried, we sat in silence. And he shared with me something that had happened to him years prior at the age of 51 when he had open heart surgery to replace all his heart valves with pig valves. We later would tease him that he didn't snore at night, he would oink. Dad shared with me that during his surgery, he had an out-of-body experience. He saw himself above the room looking down upon the doctors working on his broken body. He had an incredible sense of peace and calm, and he was surrounded by light. He shared that he had never shared that experience, not even with mother. He was afraid that people would think he was crazy. Was it real? Is it normal? Absolutely. Yes. The picture of my dad's life was one of pain with an alcoholic father. Health problems since childhood because of rheumatic fever. And an ensuing sense of inferiority and incapability. But now he was being equipped to deal with it. His experience had become an open window in which he could now step. And begin to understand in the midst of his brokenness, he already was being healed. The tears and the fears were real. Just as real, though, was the voice that he heard. As God spoke, "My son, my beloved, you are okay." Those windows are everywhere for you and for me when we have eyes to see and ears to hear. My dad's life changed, and a great man of faith stepped forward with a purpose and meaning in his life. It's interesting how we often want to go back to those moments, those transfigured moments, and we attempt to build booths to hang on to the experience. But as we cling to the past, we get nowhere. As we cling to the past, we close off opportunities to have a future with God and the life God wants us to have. So Peter, James, and John came down from that mountain. They could not stay there. They had to come down, but they did not leave that experience behind. They took it with them. And it is what carried them through what is ahead as they move into Jerusalem. And Jesus goes to his passion and death and eventual resurrection. So you see, transfigured moments change us. They sustain us. They prepare us. They encourage us. They guide us into a future regardless of where we find ourselves with the daily circumstances of life. They show us who we are, beloved children of God. Simply open your eyes and your ears and your heart to be transformed and transfigured. And then the picture of life that is an open window for you will speak loudly and say, "No, there is more to life." Thanks be to God. Amen.